Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
There we go. Welcome to it. Weekend edition, sort of, kind of. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer. We are locked in as you start the 4th of July celebration. Well, spend a little bit of time with us. Great to be in, and we will dive into plenty to talk about, some over-under numbers to explore. The topic of celebration, right? U.S. Women's World Cup doing their thing, taking down merry old England into the World Cup finals. We got a watch party to tell you about. That's on the way. And plenty to get into. We'll spend some time. Mike Shewhart going to jump on with this. We'll talk some golf with Shuey. Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, is in hour two. And Danny Burke. A little bit of Burke's best bets coming up in the 5 o'clock, a jock doc as well. And if you missed a great conversation, Paul Meyerberg was at the opening yesterday, USA Today, college football writer. We'll re-air that for you coming up in about 25 minutes. You can get in 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to dial up. And can find us on Twitter, can follow Will Bauer at Willie underscore Bauer, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio, and always follow and find Hail Varsity. So no recruiting news today, no announcement yet. We're on Kawhi watch as well, and we're still, some are confused whether it's sipping tea or smoking J. It's tea, my friends, as we'll get into sports celebrations. What's too much? What's just right? How do you kind of rock it when you get into the end zone? What's your MO? The overs, unders is a popular topic. We'll get into the latest lines and numbers with Danny Burke on that. Brandon Vogel spent some time on it with the hot reads. And when it comes to Big Ten picks, pretty good stuff from CBS Sports. Ohio State, Michigan, big numbers to get into. And Nebraska sitting at 8.5. Man, I'm in right now, and I don't think I'll change for 9 for sure. And a lot of love for Adrian Martinez. That's deserved. You're wondering if the Nebraska defense will be better. You think they'll be better. That's going to be key to that 9 win, that over-under at 8.5 for the Big Red. And the crossovers, well, seem more favorable for Nebraska. And 2019 could be the year for Nebraska to make that jump. We'll spend some time with that with Paul Meyerberg. But you have the best quarterback. You have good coaches there is when it comes to play calling in college football. And you, for the first time in forever, it's not Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, or Michigan in some sort of fashion consecutively as your crossover, right? You do have a date with Ohio State that's going to be monster. You get Maryland that's a bit tricky when it's scheduled. It's tricky because it's between Wisconsin and Iowa to close out monster games in the West. Indiana has always been a thorn, and they'll be better this year. They got a lot of defense coming back. But it's more manageable. Can Nebraska get to 9-3 instead of 8-4? Where would you put your money at right now? And I think right now for the over, you got to drop $164 of Skittles to win 100. If you take the under, you say they win 7, it's $194 to win the 100. So that's something to think about right there. Listen, I think Northwestern will find a way to 7 wins. Their win totals at 6.5. Ohio State is at 10.5. What's your gut tell you about the Buckeyes this year? I know the hope is that Nebraska is the first of many teams to go pinata on Ohio State. Will it happen? Will the Ryan Day experiment be just that, an experiment, or is it this train keeps on a rolling where Ohio State, when they replace a coach, they've upgraded from John Cooper to Sweater Vest, from Sweater Vest to Urban? Does it go from Urban to Ryan Day? And I don't know. I don't think anyone can recruit. And quite honestly, that goes into assistance Urban has had, like Urban Meyer. I mean, his assistants have been phenomenal. They've all become head coaches. Penn State's at 8.5. Purdue's at 8. I don't know if Purdue can get there. You've got a jumble of 8-4s in the Big Ten West. Wisconsin at 8.5. Man, Wisconsin has road games at South Florida, at Ohio State, at Nebraska, at Minnesota. They also get Michigan, Northwestern, and Michigan State at home. I think Nebraska is the safest bet. Minnesota's at 6.5. What about the consistency here with Minnesota, right? I mean, they can go win at Wisconsin, but they got rocked by Illinois, 55-31. Illinois' offense was no joke. Illinois decided to blow many of their toes off, though, a lot of times last year. 7.5 for Michigan State. Sparty's got to play Ohio State, Michigan, Northwestern, and Wisconsin all on the road. Do they get one or two of those? I don't know. But Sparty's going to be able to run the football. Lombardi will be better. Their defense will be their defense. I mean, they're kind of getting back to the old blue-collar Sparty. I could see Michigan State finishing second behind Michigan. Ohio State dropping down to third. Penn State holding that fourth. I think Maryland's going to be too much of a transitional year with the first-year head coach to be threatening. If Durkin was still there, with the way that cat's recruited, I mean, Maryland was going to be one of those teams that could climb up and be a 7-9 win team with the talent they've accumulated. What say you with these win totals? And are you kind of leaning towards a cluster of 6-3 with the Big Ten West? And does Ohio State take a step backward? Does Nebraska surge forward? I mean, I can talk myself into 10 wins for Nebraska. I can also talk myself into as many coin flip games as you're going to have with Nebraska this year. I can talk myself into a 7-win regular season, too. Because what I don't know about this Nebraska team, I know they're going to be bigger. I know they're going to be stronger. I know they're going to be more focused. I know they're going to have the best quarterback on the field more times than not, if not all times. But what I don't know is the step forward defensively. What I don't know offensively is what's the consistency going to be like. You're going to get consistency from your quarterback. Are you going to get consistency from the run game and the wideouts? Those are two unknown elements, right? You think it'll be okay with Spielman and Stoll and then others around him, Cade Warner. You think that Mills is going to come in and hopefully replicate or by committee replicate what Ziggy was able to do, because Ziggy was an unknown, right? He's a guy that looked good when he got in, but the problem was he didn't get in all the time for whatever reasons. He came in and kicked it into gear and was major, along with Adrian, as to why Nebraska finished out 4-2. Iowa, they got a returning quarterback that's good, that's probably a little bit better than a game manager. Iowa has ferocious defensive ends that are good, that can stop the run. They're just not glorious 3rd-and-8 guys off the edge that go meet at the quarterback. They're kind of do-it-all, all-purpose defensive linemen. Well, let's count some of your money and just give me a quick over or under. Illinois. I think Illinois, I know they're coming off a 4-8 season. I think Lovie's recruited well. I don't know where they're going to find it, but their schedule says Akron, UConn, Eastern Michigan, and Rutgers. Can I count four of those as wins? Can I already go, yes, I'm going to buy Illinois at over 3 wins?
Historically, have they been there?
Well, historically, they've been to the Rose Bowl sooner than Michigan had been.
Okay. I mean, it's tough for me to do. It's tough for me to do, but.
Okay, so did you say? Just say
I'll under. Go under. I'll
okay.
go under.
Okay. Or you can go push. You can say they're going to be right at 3. If they're right at 3 again, or four and eight last year. Same record as Nebraska.
I'll go under. I'll go under. I'll be that guy.
Okay, that's fine. Indiana, 6. Over, under, push.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I will go under as well.
I'm going over with Illinois. I'm going under with Indiana. I think Indiana's 5-7. Iowa, 7.5. Hawkeyes. They're on the road against Iowa State, Michigan, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Nebraska. Wow. They get Penn State and Purdue at home. Those aren't gimmies. Minnesota could be a pain for them as well. I think Iowa's right at 8 wins. I think they'll split with Nebraska, Wisconsin. Northwestern's always been a pain to Iowa. They're good against the big dogs. They beat Michigan last time Michigan came to Kinnick. They are huge. They are so good at those.
Controlling the line of scrimmage is their name of the game.
But I'm saying the big moment games at Kinnick.
Oh, that is very true. Top 10 teams don't do well.
They don't. They don't survive. No. They don't survive. Give me Iowa. God, I'm gonna go over the 7.5 at 8 wins. Maryland at 4.5. I'm gonna say push. I know that. Oh, how do we count a half a victory? I'm gonna say Maryland ends up at 4-8, so they're under the 4.5. Michigan 9.5 wins. I'm going over with Michigan. All right. I know they're at Notre Dame, and I know Ohio State's gonna be tough, but I think they're ready to break through. That's gonna be who represents the East. I'm pretty sure Sparty goes to Ann Arbor. So give me Michigan and over 9.5. Michigan State, give me over the 7.5. I think Minnesota gets to 7. I'm taking them and the overs. Give me Nebraska overs at 8.5 wins. Give me Northwestern over at 6.5 wins. I'm going under with Ohio State at 10.5. I think Ohio State falls back to maybe at best a 10-3 season. And I think Penn State's right there at 8 wins. So I'll take the under at the 8.5. Purdue at 8 wins. I'm going under. They have a lot of defense returning. They lose a lot on offense. They have the special player, of course, in Rondale. Who else is going to help him out? They lost their running game, or a big part of their running game. So give me Purdue at 7. Give me Wisconsin. I still think Wisconsin's going to be good. They got a lot of defense that is out. It's gone. They got to replace 4 on the offensive line. And they are starting a new quarterback. And they are on the road. They are on the road, as mentioned, at Ohio State, at Nebraska, at Minnesota, Michigan, Northwestern, Michigan State at home. That is murder. That is murder crossover right there with Michigan State and Ohio State and Michigan. Oh, man. I'm going to say under for Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's at 8-4. Any objections?
I think you hit the nail on the head pretty much there. Wisconsin 2 or 3 years down the road with a fairly capable quarterback could be a scary thought, don't you think there, Schmitty?
One more time.
Wisconsin with a semi-capable quarterback.
Well, do we know if they have a semi-capable?
We don't, but isn't that young kid pretty highly recruited?
They have Mertz and Cone. And Cone's been there a while. Hornibrook's down at Florida State. I don't want to call Mertz or Cone capable yet, but if you can hand off to Taylor and the O-line's grade A, 100% approved Wisconsin O-line, even though 80% of them are starting for their first time, they're good. I think their schedule's too tough. I think that's the factor for me. We'll get more into this with the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, as we're off and running. Pulling into work today, I thought I was under attack. No one was shooting bottle rockets at me. No one went Roman candle, welcome to the party, pal, on me. But there is some mobile homes that we are surrounded by, and mobile homes are fine. Grandma and Grandpa's lake cabin was a mobile home. It's all good. Someday I'll probably have a mobile home. All that being said, it was Beirut over there. Loud explosions, and not the Jesse and Walt type of explosions that sometimes occur in trailer homes. This was someone braved the elements and found their way to Missouri, or it was homemade, because the explosions going off just to our north here at the old studio. I mean, I needed my Don Zimmer Yankees Army hat on. It was pretty loud and proud. Shuey will talk about Nate Lashley. We'll get into that with Shuey coming up. Danny Burke, Bill Dolman. Dolman may have some fireworks stories to tell you about. He grew up in Fairbury, and they can get after it down in Fairbury, celebrating the nation's birthday. We didn't quite get into celebrations yet, but we will. Chance for you to celebrate with Hail Varsity. We want to see you down in the rail yard. 10 o'clock for the United States World Cup title game. The Women's World Cup's been fascinating. It's been phenomenal. The U.S. has been dominant. They are confident, and they will get someone to trounce, we hope, on Sunday. And the rail yard is going to have a watch party on the Cube. You need to be there, 10 a.m., presented by Hail Varsity. So get down to the Cube at the rail yard for the U.S. Women's World Cup title game. Bring your flags, bring your face paint, chant USA all day down in the rail yard at the Cube with Hail Varsity. You're invited out, and restaurants, food will be down there for you to check out. Restaurants will be open if you want to get your tummy full and your voices loud. Thoughts from Paul Meyerberg, USA Today college football analyst, on the way.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes, that's awesome.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some college football. National college football writer with USA Today and Paul Meyerberg. It's where you follow him. Paul, great to get caught up again. How's it going?
Not bad. I'm counting down the days. I think, eight Saturdays? Seven Saturdays?
We're
getting closer. That's how I measure it.
We don't quite have a calendar, but we are going Andy Dufresne style here, like Shawshank, and just kind of cross it off one of the Saturdays on the wall here in the studio. You're down at the opening. Let's start there. One of Nebraska's own, a kid that many folks are raving about, Xavier Betts, says he kind of jumped on your radar at all. Have you seen much of him?
You know, I haven't been able to see him on one-on-one, but honestly, I did see last night, because I was around for testing, that he was in the top 10 for testing. In terms of they don't call it spark anymore, but it's, you know, the 40, the medicine ball toss, the vertical jump, the shuttle, whatever. He maxed out there. So clearly there's athleticism just because of the setup here on the sidelines at the Star in Frisco. I haven't seen him run any one-on-ones, but you can't question the athleticism. We've got the 200 best, or at least among the 200 best total prospects in the country here, and he's in the upper echelon in terms of being able to move athletically. So obviously Nebraska Scott Frost will know how to use that, I would imagine.
Yeah, and his size at wideout, Nebraska excited that he's just up the road in Omaha. But other impressions, other names or kids that have stuck out to you in your time at the opening?
Yeah, for sure. I'll start with a QB that I've really liked. His name is Bryce Young. He's from Southern California. I think he actually, his family's from Pasadena. He goes to Niner Day, which is that big-time program in SoCal. He's not big. He's about 5'11", and that might be giving him a little bit of a boost, maybe 180 pounds. But he reminds me, and this is high praise, and I've only seen him in shorts and a tee, but in terms of how he looked at the Elite 11, he reminded me of how Kyler Murray looked when he was at the opening, when he was out at Nike about 4 or 5 years ago. Doesn't really pop in drills, but when you put him in live action, or at least 7-on-7, which is as close as you get here, he really shines. So I think he's got, A, enormous upside, and B, he's going into a great situation with SC. They're going to do the air raid if things work out for Clay Helton under Graham Harrell. So that's a good one to keep an eye on. I love this tight end named Michael Mayer. He's committed to Notre Dame. He's a Kentucky product. I mean, this kid is unbelievable. It's about 6'5", 240, way too big for DBs, way too fast for linebackers. So I would say of this group of guys that I wasn't totally aware of, or at least onto going into the event, I'd bank on both those guys being successful in college, because they seem to have the athleticism, the burst, and the speed. And both of them, according to coaches, have a great grasp of the mental side. So I'd keep an eye on both of those two guys as you go forward.
Let's zoom out and talk a little college football. Beginning in June, you put out your top 10 quarterback list, and Adrian Martinez is in your top 10, in at number 7. Overall, though, Nebraska, a very trendy team for 2019. Without giving too much of your previews away, what's your outlook for Nebraska here? Obviously, 4-8 was tough, but the way things ended, Nebraska fans feel pretty good about the direction of the program under Coach Frost. You've seen a lot of Nebraska football. You've seen a lot of college football. Does Nebraska look poised to make a jump next season?
You know, I'm completely in on Scott Frost and this staff and what he's going to do here at Nebraska. That hasn't wavered to me a bit. 4-8 didn't change that for me. I am wary to a degree about kind of this anointing of Nebraska for 2019 as, oh, this is the number 18, number 17, 15 team in the country. I think it's a little premature. Clearly, for me, between 20 and 35, but again, that's the same grouping where I'd have an Iowa, I'd have a Wisconsin, perhaps even a Minnesota, which I think will surprise some people. I think it's premature right now to say they're the best team in the West, that they'll win the West. Clearly, the ability is there. The coaching is clearly there. The quarterback is obviously there. I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on just saying it's time. I know Frost, when he got in there, it was a 5-year plan. He had that wiggle room. He has that job security, obviously, to build it the way that he wants it rather than going for papering over a quick fix here or there. So I think the ultimate payoff for me, and this hasn't changed since day one, is it's a matter of when, not if, Nebraska kind of returns to at least some degree of elite level or prominence. When I see them at that 15 to 18 range in some preseason polls, I don't shake my head. I just wonder if it's too soon for a program, 3 losing seasons in 4 years, back-to-back 4-8. It seems maybe a little too soon. But again, if anyone can do it at any school and can turn this thing around at least double the win total in year two, I believe in Scott Frost all the way. I think it's an 8-win team, potentially 9 if a thing or two breaks their way. I don't think they're a New Year's 6 bowl. I don't think they're the best team in the Big Ten by any stretch. But for me, it's just about progress and progression. I have no doubt you'll see it. I just think that maybe temper it a little bit in terms of how effective or how consistent you'll see it, because there's going to be growing pains and a learning curve that'll continue and maybe even continue into 2020.
Paul Meyerberg's with us, national college football writer, USA Today, at Paul Meyerberg on Twitter. I think it's fair to temper what happened in year two at Central Florida. It was phenomenal. That's a part of this hype as well, because you've done it before, right? Your history says you're successful with Scott Frost, and I think you hit it on the head. When, not if, Nebraska gets back to being Nebraska under Coach Frost. The schedule's good this year. When we talk about, you know, defining good, good means you get Wisconsin, Iowa, Northwestern, and Ohio State at Memorial Stadium, but you still got to play them. You still got to beat them, Paul. And Nebraska's had a hard time doing that. Minnesota, Purdue on the road. The West is so wide open. You could take care of business at home, but drop some on the road, and who knows how many wins you need to take the West this year.
It's going to be about tiebreakers to me because of what I mentioned. I just think that there's a grouping at the top, whether it's 3 or 4 teams. Look, I didn't even mention Northwestern. I mean, if Hunter Johnson is as good as they hope, I know he's got to kind of learn the college game, and Thorson, for all his ups and downs and injuries, at least was really experienced and they trusted him. If Hunter Johnson's a 5-star, I think Northwestern's right in the mix. You can never overlook that team the way they played for Pat Fitzgerald. So there is definitely a kind of cluster at the top there, and it'll come down to tiebreakers. It'll come down to who wins that head-to-head matchup. And like you said, getting those teams at home is a huge deal. Now, if the Big Ten West is winning it like this great achievement, I mean, just from my perspective, it's something to hang your hat on. But I think for Nebraska and certainly for Frost, there's something else they're chasing. And they're chasing a kind of, you know, a crystal football. Mm-hmm. So is it a step forward? Yeah. And if they get it in 2019, he told me last summer, year two is when it'll pop. If they get in 2019, it's just another marker reached, another kind of benchmark and standard achieved. And, you know, maybe 2020, 2021 is when they get to the next step. I just feel like for Nebraska, a day at a time. And I think Frost, he coached for Chip Kelly, you know, win the day is his mantra as well as Kelly's. Every day is a step forward and an improvement, you know, an opportunity. So I have no doubt that he preaches that to the guys, and eventually it'll come together. But just personnel-wise, I'm not sure if Nebraska is ready to take that step in 2019. And you would know more than me. This seems like personnel there's still room for growth. There's room for improvement.
Let's talk Michigan here. Let's talk Wisconsin. Does Wisconsin have a bounce back? I know they replace four-fifths of the O-line and a quarterback. Michigan, it looks like it's all coming together. New offensive coordinator. Maybe the leash is off of Shea this season.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, let me preface by saying it's July, right? So it's July is when you get like the most rosy and optimistic view. Having said that, I like Michigan to win the Big Ten for the reason you mentioned, and it's the offense. We'll see in September on a fall Saturday if they're actually going to do what they say they're going to do. But according to what you've heard from practice and what you've heard around the Big Ten is that they're going to open it up. And they're not going to be Nebraska, but they are going to be at least a little bit more based on getting guys in space, a little more tempo, a little more speed. If that's the case, like you said, I saw Patterson throw here this week. I mean, the kid's ready to go. I mean, if you take the leash off of Patterson and let him go, I really think that he could be the best quarterback in the Big Ten, at least alongside Martinez. So I think Michigan is ready. And I'm not saying it's because Urban Meyer is gone. I think Michigan as a program is ready to take that step. So I'm all in on Michigan. Actually, as of right now, I have them in the playoffs. I reserve the right to change that. It's July 2nd, right? But I like Michigan. I think they're ready.
Hurts in Oklahoma. How is that going to work out? You've got a great job of stacking quarterbacks by Lincoln Riley. When you look at Baker and you look at Murray, now Hurts comes in. And what does OU ask him to do? I mean, do they ask him to be an athlete and complete some passes? Do they got to be? Does he need to be as surgical as the previous two quarterbacks? What's the outlook for OU?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most intriguing questions in college football. Not about the end result, because just knowing what Lincoln Riley has done and how he's worked with transfers, I think we agree and that we're all in consensus that the end result is going to be positive. I think the offense will work regardless of whether Hurts and OU run a scheme that's more like Alabama when he was a freshman, where it's a ton of zone read, a ton of short throws, all RPOs and such, or whether he is asked to be more like Mayfield or more like Murray and throw it 28 to 32 times a game and run it 6 to 10 times a game. I think they'll find a balance, but clearly just based on what Lincoln Riley has done, I really love the kind of meshing of two what you would consider to be opposite skill sets, which is we want to play pitch and catch, to Jalen Hurts being a guy who has great leadership qualities, unbelievable legs, can throw outside the pocket, but isn't necessarily a guy that you're saying, oh, here's my number one overall pick as a quarterback. So I'm really intrigued by it. I think the end result, like I said, is going to be kind of a blend of what Oklahoma has done under Riley as coordinator with what Hurts does well. So I think Riley, A, is a smart guy, period, but as a football coach, he's smart enough to realize I can be flexible in my system because I don't think my quarterback necessarily can fit into the square peg that I say he'll be just because we've had two guys in a row who can do X, Y, Z. So I think OU is still the best team in the Big 12. I know Texas has a lot of hype around them. Texas is in prove me stage, I think. They need to go out and actually do it before I get fully on board. I like the marriage. I think Hurts as a person is a great leader. He's a great kind of clubhouse locker room guy. And Lincoln Riley obviously has got a golden touch. So for me, OU is the team in the Big 12. And when push comes to shove early December, there's no doubt, just based on history, that they'll be in the mix for a top four spot.
Paul, last thought, we'll get you out of here. Paul Meyerberg, College Football USA Today. Who has a better second year, Tua or Lawrence?
I'll say Lawrence. Look, and I'll say Lawrence only because Tua has already put together one of the great seasons in SEC history. I'm not sure how much farther he can go as a second-year starter. My fear for Tua, and it says a lot about our culture, certainly around how we interact with fans and how fans interact online and elsewhere, I worry that there's going to be a Tim Tebow-like backlash on Tua nationally, where Tebow, after his sophomore year, people were picking him apart as a junior and a senior. He went from being the most beloved player to being, in a sense, the most hated because people want to pile on the favorite. So I hope that doesn't happen to Tua. I think he'll be fantastic. I mean, he's Tua. But Lawrence, look, I was at the title game. I mean, he made throws in that title game that just made your jaw hit the floor. And I think everybody in the world knows that he is, at this point, as a rising true sophomore, he's in a class of QB prospects with an Andrew Luck, with a John Elway, I've heard, with obviously Peyton Manning. He's an elite group, just elite group, upper one percenter. So I think Lawrence is as good as he's been. A full offseason as a starter will do wonders. I think he'll be fantastic.
Paul, take care. Best to you. We'll see you in Chicago. Thanks for the time.
Yes, sir. Thank you again.
Gotta love Paul Meyerberg, college football writer with USA Today. We'll talk to Shuey. Mike Shuhart next with Wilderness Ridge. Hail Varsity continues.
And now.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Happy 4th of July from Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer. It is that time. Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge. Shuey, have you got any fireworks yet? How are you?
Doing good. No fireworks. Too old for that. I'd probably blow my hand off.
Well, we couldn't have that. Then it'd be like your Chubbs, you know?
That's right. It'd be a little tough to hold that golf club.
It would. It would. Shuey, we need an update on them Divot Dogs. How are things rocking with some of the young people that you work with day in and day out?
Yeah, good. We had a good week this week. We had back-to-back tournaments on Monday and Tuesday. So Monday we did really well. We finished we had two first and two seconds. And then we played yesterday in a big field, 18 teams, probably our toughest competition. And we tied for first and got beat in a playoff.
Ugh.
So our first loss. But it was good because it got them exposed to the playoffs that are coming up in about a couple, 3 weeks. So they played great. So we had a good week.
Got that bounce back opportunity as well. Mike Shuhart with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Shuey, what's going on out at Wilderness, bud, for the 4th and beyond?
We have our start tomorrow. So we do a shotgun in the morning. So we have the course completely full at 8 o'clock. So a little 4th of July kickoff. Guys, get out and get to play early before it gets too hot. And then get done with their golf, and then they go enjoy the rest of their day.
Or the deck, right?
Or the deck.
Or the deck.
There'll be a few out there.
Or the deck rest of the day. We're working on something end of August to come see you. So,
right.
That'll be good. That'll be good. Mike Shuhart's with us. Shuey, what an emotional moment and win last weekend for Nebraska native Nate Lashley. And I need to know, what's your backstory, or do you have any, with Lashley? Comment on what he achieved. His story is remarkable.
Yeah, his story is really remarkable. Actually, I was fortunate enough. I've worked with Nate, you know, when he was out of high school and he was in Arizona, where he was playing. And he would come back to town every now and then, and I worked, you know, some with him. So I know Nate pretty well. And a tragic story for what happened to him. Amazing. Pretty amazing for him to stick with it and get to where he's at now. An extremely talented kid that I don't think a lot of people really had ever heard about. But you know, heck, he was two-time, you know, junior amateur player of the year in Nebraska. It's just that when they're out in Scotts Bluff and that area out there, that's they don't get heard from a lot. But incredibly good player, great kid too, you know, great to achieve through all of those adversities that he had to, and those are ones that's, you don't wish upon anybody. So, pretty amazing.
Well, Shuey, with working with Nate and knowing Nate like you do, Nate Lashley's, who we're speaking of, got his PGA win, and now 2 years to go, continue to grind and battle and get some more tour victories. What is it about his personality, in your opinion, working with him, and also being the coach that you are, that allowed him to persevere through this? I mean, it would have folded so many people, having to losing your parents and a girlfriend like he did.
Yeah, and it did for a little while. You know, he had quit golf and was trying to sell real estate and do some things like that, just trying to find his way. But like many golfers and us golfers, if you have a passion for something, you know, you always – typically find your way back to it, you know. And he's played golf, he loved golf, you know, and he missed golf and he found his way back to golf. And you know, I think what he had to go through and deal with made him a lot stronger, so, which was really impressive watching him, because he didn't falter a bit, you know, in that. So the pressure wasn't too great for him trying to win for the first time, which is not easy to do at all, you know. But I think his going through all the adversity he had to go through to that point really helped him in that situation, you know. And he's a confident kid, so he knew he could do it. But I think, you know, that
And he had been playing really good the last couple of years, you know. And being in that situation, I think, with his background and the things he had to go through, it helped him immensely being able to deal with that.
Chewy, so, what's the future look like for Lashley? I mean, where can this first victory take him?
I mean, that first victory is always nice because it's kind of a validation that all your hard work and your talent, I'm good enough to be out there. The second one is harder because the second one is going, you know what, am I really that good? Can I really compete with these guys? So if you can get that second one under your belt, then, man, usually it opens up a whole new world of confidence and belief, and you continue to basically play and perform like he is right now. They're just tough. There's so many good players out there, and you need more than just pure talent to be able to win a tournament because there's too many guys with too much talent and skill to do that. So you need to be in the right place at the right time. You need a few breaks, and you need to capitalize on those opportunities. So, you know, it'll be fun to watch where he goes. I think that'll open up a bunch of doors for him confidence-wise. And when he gets going and he feels good, I mean, he shoots low, just like not many people open up 63, 67, 63. I mean, that's making some birdies. So if you have the capability of doing that, you're dangerous anytime.
Mike Shuart's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Wilderness Ridge, at Mike Shuart on Twitter's where you follow him. So, Shuey, were you in much contact with Nate Lashley when he was away from golf? Did he reach out to you at all?
No, not much. He kind of went, I think, a little bit into hibernation, so to speak. You know, he just got away from it and was just trying to get his head straight.
Yeah.
You know, and he'd pop in every now and then, you know, because he was still playing around, trying to find his way back to playing when he started playing again. So he'd pop in and he'd come and play like the Nebraska Open and different tournaments that were kind of in the area, you know, so he'd always pop in and talk so it was always good to see him. You know, it's just fantastic to see guys overcome such adversity and achieve, you know, and he's hard work, you know, and I'm a true believer in that, you know. If you keep working really hard and you stay positive and you keep working, good things always come to the end. Sometimes we lose sight of that. But he kept working, you know, and he got back to where it was, and good things happened to him.
Shuey, got about 40 seconds here. A thought. We know mental toughness is a staple of Nate Lashley. From a skill set, what does he do well that can keep propelling him forward?
He's just a really... He's very consistent. You know, he's not the longest hitter out there, but he's very consistent. You know, his basically comes down to how good does he putt, just like most everybody. But he's a really good ball striker, has really good command of what he does. So he's all kind of puts himself in a position a lot, and it's just how good does his putter work, you know. And last week it was just, I mean, I watched him play a little bit. I didn't get to see a lot of it, but I saw some of it, and it was like he just – when he was on the green, you could tell. I mean, it was, the hole looked really big for him, you know. So he was super confident. He started rolling putts in, and you know, when you get that kind of feel and you get that good feel on the greens, that hole looks really big and you can make about everything you look at. You know, he's going to always be tough because he's in position a lot. You know, he doesn't hit it crazy offline. Hits it really solid. He has a lot of command, and he has a lot of command emotionally. You know, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. Just goes about his business.
Shuey, you have a great fourth. Thanks for the time today.
You too. Thanks for having me on. Always enjoy it.
402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great stuff from Mike Shuart and plenty of thoughts on his time with Nate Lashley. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer, great to be with you. The day before the 4th, a little golf, a little family, a little pool time, and some cooking out. That's on my agenda. Bill Dolman's coming up, and Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago. Burke's best bets. We'll get into some of the over-under totals with Danny Burke. Reminder about your friends at Madonna Therapy Plus. Madonna Therapy Plus, 3 locations in Lincoln, 1 in West Omaha. and the Therapy Plus location at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lakes, where you can go and check out Darren Bryant and the Swing Well Golf Assessment and Fitness Program. Listen, are you struggling playing golf? And the answer might be yes. Do you have some pain? Is there some tightness limiting your swing? Madonna Therapy Plus at Proactive, and Darren can help fix that for you. He's a Titleist Performance Institute certified fitness expert in golf. He gives you a physical evaluation combined with video analysis and a customized exercise program that's going to help you get that swing back to par. And the assessment program with Swing Well and Madonna Therapy Plus, it's not a golf lesson, but it's going to be designed to help you get that body back and those exercises to loosen you up and give you the swing you want, the swing you need. Call today, Madonna Therapy Plus at Proactive at 402-420-0004. Ask for Darren Bryant. We had Darren on the show, I think, while we were up at the College World Series a couple, 3 weeks ago. Can log on as well, MadonnaTherapyPlus.org. Will, at what age did you outgrow fireworks, or have you?
This may be the first year I don't go purchase some.
So you've been a kid growing up, and you're from the Minnesota,
North Dakota.
No, that's an evil look.
I mean, they have no. They just have zero like fireworks laws in North Dakota. So you as a Minnesota kid, we could go over to the North Dakota border.
And you were like right on the border, right?
Yeah.
So you could roll over to Fargo.
Mm-hmm. Yep, correct.
And just I want 17 M80s.
Maybe not M80s, but yeah, bottle rockets and all that stuff. Yeah.
Did you ever have a bottle rocket fight with your pals?
Ooh, I remember my mom coming over to the friend's house probably as like a first grader, and we had bottle rockets out, and she was not happy with me. Okay, so there were older brothers. There were older brothers in high school, and
hey, Will,
the first and second grader
got.
Were playing
I got,
around.
I got a
mom
bottle
came
rocket.
Over and yeah.
Wow. Dude, that's pretty good. Like first graders, you're jacking around with bottle rockets. Did you get on a bike and go Rambo?
I don't know if we were ever that adventurous, that crazy, but
okay.
We had fun.
Is there a neighbor you shot him at? That's illegal.
No, not that I know of. Just shot him up at trees, probably. Killed some squirrels. Who knows?
Really?
I don't know.
Man, you didn't just go out for the said squirrel. I mean, it just was kind of collateral damage.
It was collateral damage, yeah.
So okay, because if you're harming animals, I mean, we're going to have to go psychological test on you.
Just don't tell PETA.
Now they know. Bill Dolman, we'll see how many squirrels he killed in Fairbury with bottle rockets. Get his take on Adrian Martinez being down at the Manning camp. What Mel Tucker had to say this week out in Dolman land in Denver with the Denver Post. Right of Fairbury, NBC's Bill Dolman next on Hail Varsity.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to...
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Happy 4th of July to all of you. Have a great 4th with family and friends. We will jump on with the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, shortly. NBC Sports, Danny Burke, Burke's Best Bets, the Wednesday edition. We'll discuss the over-under, the win totals for the Big Ten teams. We started off the show that way. And want to remind you what to do Sunday morning when you're done with church. Get down to the rail yard. The Cube. Familiar place, phenomenal setting. And how about a watch party for the United States Women's World Cup title game. Powered by Hail Varsity. Get down there. Get to the rail yard. Find a spot to sit. Watch on the Cube. Restaurants down in the rail yard will be open for the World Cup and the U.S. World Cup title game to be consumed and cheered upon and chant out loud USA. as the women will take down another championship. Bold prediction, right? But get down there with Hail Varsity, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, and be there in the rail yard for the World Cup title game with the U.S. women. We say hi to the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, proud American, great Husker, Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D., happy 4th, brother. How are you?
Happy 4th of July to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, America, as they say in We're the Millers.
Yes, that's a good flick, by the way.
Very underappreciated.
It is. The confusion on abstinence, you know? I mean, that part just...
I know.
Bill, where do we go from here? Let's start off with the old Denver Post and Buff head coach Mel Tucker. Now, the quote that was juicy, well, what's Nebraska done? If you read the whole article, things are outlined with how both teams, Colorado and Nebraska, have struggled. You've got this effort, this cause by the People's Republic of Boulder trying to keep the Red Army out. That isn't going to happen week two of the college football season. And now this looks and sounds like bulletin board material. On top of the fact you had your Colorado linebacker a year ago go Bobby the Brain Heenan on Adrian Martinez's knee. This thing's setting up, isn't it?
Well, you know, I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt that he doesn't get it.
Right, because he's SEC guy.
We've had people who have infiltrated our ranks who haven't gotten it. of course, we had one that we thought would get it and didn't. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that comment as I've read it and not seen it out here in Colorado. Where, quite frankly, nobody cares. I know it was in the Denver Post, but I don't think that many people are reading it, and I don't think people even know that Mel Tucker is the football coach at the University of Colorado. I will say, to the benefit of the doubt for him, is when he says, what have they done? Maybe he is saying, I wonder what those guys are doing that is causing the best players in this state to be interested in Nebraska. So perhaps what he said was out of curiosity and not out of some type of smack talk in terms of, well, what are those guys done?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So again, that's a possibility first. Second, that comment out here is whispering into a waterfall and nobody heard it.
That is kind of the Colorado way, isn't it? I mean, you look at just how they had to build, and this is, when they went and got McCartney, they scheduled like no one else in the non-con, and they got better. And when we talked to Coach Barnett, he's like, we didn't want to do it. We had to do it, right? And even post McCartney, when Skippy was there, Neuheisel, or when Barney was there, they had tough non-conference games. We're talking USC, we're talking the U. Go down to Texas. I mean, they scheduled to get people in the stands, and it's still empty seat night a lot of times, and it's been tough.
It's a tough sellout here. And I think it doesn't matter what Nebraska or really anybody else has done as he tries to, rebuild that program into mediocrity. The thing about it is people out here in Colorado, players I'm talking about, recruits, understand that nobody cares. Yeah, it's a beautiful campus. Don't get me wrong. And there are some nice people there. But when you're going to go from here to play there, you're going to understand that nobody is really going to have a passion and care about what you do. You may have some glorified, I don't want to be that harsh because I was going to say glorified high school crowds there. Cause you'll have you know, 20,000 people maybe at a football game. But if you're a high school football star in Colorado, and I don't say this as, you know, what's Nebraska versus Colorado in that regard. If you have somebody that is courting you that has a passionate fan base, why wouldn't you take a look at it? Because, you know, it's, I think USC and UCLA and some of the schools that are in major cities, Miami, you know, that doesn't draw anymore. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are a few things to do in Miami and Los Angeles besides college football. USC, until the Rams came back, it was maybe the big USC football, not basketball or any other sport, maybe the biggest draw. And in Denver, it's the Broncos, and then it's everything that surrounds Boulder that, you know, I'm talking about mountains, that appeals to people in, out here. So, you know, why not go someplace where people care? And if you're a Colorado kid, Nebraska's not far. They care exponentially more. And it is the program on the rise, the hip program on the rise right now in college football. So it, Mel Tucker, whatever he meant by his comment, he's got a big mountain to climb if he's going to beat the Big Red for the best talent in his own state.
Well, you're bringing 10 Coloradoans back when you head to Boulder, and you've gotten the latest McCaffrey stud. You've gotten some offensive linemen. And it's been historic. I mean, Kenny Bell was really good for Nebraska kid in Boulder. You look at the Corey Rosses of the world, Mike Knox going back to the late 70s, early 80s. I mean,
Kahan Lewis, Brian Borboom out of Colorado Springs.
Searles, our favorites, our favorite Buffalo Bills, from that area. I mean, Nebraska didn't miss much in Colorado. And you look at some of the upcoming recruits, 2020, 2021, there's a lot of talent in Colorado that Nebraska's in the mix for.
And again, Nebraska is not the only one. Mm-hmm. If Lincoln Riley wants to get somebody out of Denver to come down there and play, I'll guarantee you, he will get the attention, and it'll be a fight. And it's probably a fight that Colorado is going to lose. If Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas schools, you know, there's always been some pretty good talent from Colorado that's gone down to play throughout the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. It's just a fact of life out here that people just don't care as much about the Buffs. And if you are a high-profile football player in the state of Colorado and you want the adulation that goes along with that, you're not going to get it necessarily in high school anyway. But if you want that continued adulation, you're gonna look to find a place that is going to appreciate you and give you whatever it is that you need to stoke your ego. Not saying every player is like that. A lot of them just want to go to a place where they know they're going to have a great experience. And Nebraska, Oklahoma, or places like that are going to be very, very enticing, and it's going to be tough for them to keep the best players.
Bill Dolman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, and Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill, how do you think Nebraska will handle the hype? A lot of national love, really nice write-up by Bruce Feldman on Super Mario, Nebraska's quarterback coach. Nebraska's kind of that it program heading into 2019.
Which I said before the end of last season happened.
You did.
That Nebraska, before they played Iowa, before we reached November, Nebraska was going to be that team that was going to be a preseason top 25. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little afraid of all the stuff that's going on right now around that program. I think you probably have some guys that are lining up and practicing right now that probably think Nebraska was 8-4 last year. And I'm talking about players.
Yeah.
You know, that they're starting to read the hype and they're starting to believe the hype, and they're starting to maybe think that they've already accomplished something that they really have not. I think Scott's got a pretty good handle on how to keep that stuff in check. And if he needs to call some of his buddies from the 90s to come back and emphasize that you have not done it yet, then maybe that's something that needs to get done. But nevertheless, the hype right now around Nebraska football is setting the Huskers up for a terrible fall. And I don't mean fall as an autumn. I mean, falling off the wall in you know, like a Humpty Dumpty. And I don't want that to happen. But it is, you know, it is so, I don't want to say glorious, but you do not read anything negative, you know, and it warms the heart. But, you know, from a big picture press box perspective, you could see where you start to believe those headlines a little bit too much. And all of a sudden, you open up against South Alabama, and it looks like Arkansas State all over again, and we know what happened after that. Now, I don't think Scott Frost is going to let that happen. But I'm just saying, it is too good right now to be a Husker fan, because everything you pick up right now says this team is is destined for the college football playoff, destined to win, you know, compete for the Big Ten title, destined to go unbeaten at home, to beat Colorado. And they are coming off a 4-8 season with a sophomore quarterback who did get hurt last year. Let's not forget that. So he's not invincible. And that's why, again, going back to some of the other things that I've talked about in the past, I think the Vedral kid is incredibly important to Nebraska, because they have a backup quarterback that they didn't have a year ago in case there is an injury. I think they may have some more depth that they didn't have a year ago. They may have some players that are, you know, motivated to be a part of something really special. But right now, it just looks way too good that I think we need to take a step back and say, let's see how things look in that very first game, because I think we'll tell a lot right there.
Well, there's still things to do. The defense got to be better. Offense, who's going to help Adrian out? Who's going to block for him at center? I mean, there's a ton to sift through before kickoff and before week one against South Alabama, and a lot to get into before Boulder week two. Bill, got about 90 seconds here, a little more than that. NBA free agency. Anything that struck you, and what's your prediction for Kawhi? Let's start there. Where does he stay, or does he end up?
Well, I told you a long time ago, I don't think he's staying in Toronto. I didn't believe that before the NBA Finals, and I certainly don't believe it now. I, to be honest with you, I'd be shocked if he went to the Lakers, but I think that's probably where he's headed. You know, I think he wants to get back to California, spend all of his tax dollars there, and whatever money he was going to make in a big contract, just give it away. But I think maybe the Clippers would be better and have some more stability for him than whatever's going on with the drama surrounding the L.A. Lakers. And I think the pressure – I don't think he had a lot of pressure going to Toronto at all this year. And they just crept up on everybody. If he goes to L.A. to the Lakers this year, I think you're looking at the same type of potential for drama that the Lakers endured last year with LeBron James and that whole mess. And I don't think Kawhi, Anthony Davis, and LeBron, who's now, what, 35, I don't necessarily think they get out from the pitfalls of the drama that would go with that. But everything fell right for them in Toronto. I'm stunned at how the Knicks bowed out of the whole situation. They were in position to do everything that Brooklyn has done, and they didn't do it, and they're going to fall themselves into irrelevancy. But I think any team that did themselves well by maybe not necessarily signing a big power free agent, but you know, great complementary players, like maybe Utah.
Sure.
You know, I don't know what Houston is doing. I try to follow that, and I have no clue what's going on there. So I think the Lakers, obviously, by getting Anthony Davis, that looks good, but I think they're setting themselves up for a lot of drama that, you know, and I think that's what befell eventually the Golden State. And I, you know, yeah, they won a couple of titles with Kevin Durant, but I think eventually those personalities among superstars eventually wears on each other, and it just doesn't work out.
Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. Bill, have a great fourth. Awesome to chat with you. We'll get caught up again next week, and take care. Thanks for the time today.
Happy 4th of July.
You too, bud. You too. Bill Dolman out in Denver, NBC Sports. Good perspective from him. Perspective from the desert. Pride of Chicago. Danny Burke, his best bets next on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to you. Happy 4th of July. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Missed him last week. Excited to get caught up with the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Burke's best bets as we head into an explosive weekend. Danny, are you, you got some major plans for the Strip on the 4th? How are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back on, and it's good to be back on. Major plans-wise, I don't know. I think we might actually do some hiking around here and try to get a good view of the fireworks, but might hang off the Strip for a little while. You know, it can get dangerous going there once every couple weeks, Schmitty, but the big deal is we need to get you out here and hit the Strip.
No, someday I will find my way to Las Vegas. I've not been yet. I'd like to go check out a Raiders game at some point, but, you know, we'll make it happen. Maybe for the NFL draft next year. I think that would be about the perfect time. Go do a couple of shows, eat your food, and well, spend your money.
Absolutely. That would be a blast.
Danny Burke's with us. Burke's Best Bets, the holiday, 4th of July spectacular edition at Danny Burke 5 is where you follow him. Danny, I know it's July, but some reposted numbers out when it comes to the Big Ten and win totals, and we may get to some baseball, but I want to stick with some college football numbers and the Big Ten here, maybe get into some NBA favorites to win the title that folks can lock in now. But you have, you know, the standard minus 110 is out there. You lay that means you bet 110 to win 100, right? And then things escalate from there. And Brandon Vogel and his Hot Reads did the latest odds, and kind of want to get your take here when you look at over under for pre-bowl wins, right? You look at the rest of the Big Ten, you look at Illinois and Indiana and Iowa and go through it. We'll start with Nebraska, and Nebraska right now at that 8 number. So Vegas is saying, look, Nebraska likely we'll hit that 8 win number. That's where to lock in at. The over-under is 8. You're going to bet 100 or whatever you want to bet that they reach 8 or above, or are they going to hit 7 or below? What's your gut tell you right now as we're in July, but it's minus 140 right now for Nebraska, excuse me, minus 120 right now for Nebraska at that 8 win regular season total?
Yeah, Schmitty, I've been waiting for this to come out forever so I can place some money on it, because since I've come out here, I've been, you know, obviously high on Nebraska. People from a national perspective don't get the insider that we have when we're covering it every single day. So in my mind, I see 8.5, especially at plus 164. I see that as a goldmine opportunity. I mean, everybody's high in Nebraska. I know Mark Lawrence, Phil Steele have them both as one of their most improved teams heading into this season. So, really, I think Nebraska is getting undervalued here, and I think the play, without a doubt, is the over plus 164, because minus 194, you're not going to play that with the under. There's no good value on that. And Nebraska, you know, their potential, let's be honest, they can only go up, and their schedule plays out perfectly for them, in my opinion. Most of the tough games are at home. The only ones that I do question a little bit that kind of scare me about Nebraska would be just a few road games, being Minnesota, Purdue, and honestly, that's probably it. And Northwestern is one that kind of scares me as well, just because Nebraska and Northwestern play close all the time. But I'm going to say you give at least 3 losses there, and I guess you could, obviously, you got to throw Ohio State into that conversation too, because it's Ohio State. But, you know, I've been stressing this. I'm not that high on Ohio State this year, so I kind of already think Nebraska has a good edge and advantage in that game, and I'm leaning toward Nebraska, and that's why I love them when they open up as 10-point dogs at home. And I still love them now. I don't know what the current line is, but I'm hoping it moves back up so I can lay even more on Nebraska.
Danny Burke with us. Burke's Best Bets, Hail Varsity Radio, the Pride of Chicago, at Danny Burke 5 on Twitter. We're looking at Big Ten odds, the over-unders, and you said Nebraska at minus, is it up to 8.5? Is that what you have, the latest?
Yeah, I got the 8.5 for the over-under, then the over at plus 164 as being the dog.
Okay. Who else has kind of popped off the screen either as sure money or stay the hell away? I mean, what are some other teams in the Big Ten that are on your radar maybe to make an over-under wager with?
One team that I was looking at, we were actually previewing this on SportsX Radio. We were going all throughout the Big Ten, and one team that we kind of all agreed is, you know, not going to be that great this year is Penn State. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of turnover in the sense of You know, you're 2 years behind Saquon Barkley. And then with McSorley gone, too, those are some big gaps to fill offensively. Defensively, that'll be the main crutch of their game. They're returning a lot of starters, and I know that they're going to be solid overall there. Their schedule does not play out too well for them, though. They have a lot of tough games. They travel on the road to play against Iowa. They do host Michigan, but, you know, it's Michigan. I'm high on Michigan personally. I have them probably winning the Big Ten as of now. The Nittany Lions, they go to Michigan State as well, and Minnesota and Ohio State, all road games. So right now I see Penn State at 8.5. I would hammer that under at +140. That's another good value pick as well.
See, and schedule's so important, right? And you went through Nebraska and road games at Purdue and Minnesota. Nebraska had tough goes of it at both of those places. Iowa and Wisconsin, Nebraska looking to snap win streaks against both. Meanwhile, if you're Penn State, no Moorhead for a second straight year, replacing your quarterback, got a good run with what's there, but that schedule, when you're at Minnesota, you're at Michigan State, you're at Ohio State, you're at Iowa, good luck. God bless. And then we're not even talking Michigan rolling. Talk to me about Michigan. What's their win-loss total at? What's the over-under for Michigan? And what's the value look like for that?
Yeah, so Michigan right now, let's see, they are they're at 9.5. So they have Ohio State higher than them, I see. So Ohio State's at 10.5. Over +112, under -130. And for Michigan, 9.5, the over -168, under +142. So that's one of those plays, in my opinion, unless you're very, very, very confident, the good value is laying the under. And I don't feel comfortable doing so because, like I just said, I'm really high on Michigan. I mean, it's kind of bang or bust for Jim Harbaugh this year. I think it's crazy to say because it's that conversation of who are you going to get better, but it's, if they can't beat Ohio State, I just don't know how he lasts there, and that's what it seems like a lot of the rumblings are, no matter where you go. But so I do like Michigan over 9.5. I have them at 10-11 wins this year. Once again, some of those tough games being Ohio State, but that's at home, and it's obviously a must-win. Every game's a must-win in college football, but none other than that game. And then Wisconsin on the road might be one of their only tough games. And, you know, they got the Fighting Irish at home. I grew up a Notre Dame fan, but all they do is disappoint me, so it's kind of hard to even think they're going to do anything special this year. And I actually don't think they're going to be as good. But I think the schedule plays out perfectly for Michigan, too. So it's either, you know, I'm going to stay away just because the Valley's not that good with the over. But without a doubt, I wouldn't play the under in this situation because Michigan, I think, is for sure getting at least 10 wins.
I think their quarterback and their OC are going to make things much easier for life in Ann Arbor for Harbaugh this year. Three teams in the West. Tell me about Wisconsin. Tell me about Iowa. Tell me about Northwestern.
Yeah, Wisconsin. So the thing with Wisconsin, I think we harped on this a little bit before. 8.5, I see their total at right now, over -114, under -102. If anything, I'm leaning toward the under. I'm not sold on Wisconsin. I think I've pretty much just heard back and forth on the Badgers both ways because there's a lot of turnover on the line. You got a brand new quarterback. What's going to be the deal with Taylor in the backfield? Obviously, he's a stud, but like we said, we see a lot of turnover on that line on both sides. So I'm not too convinced in Wisconsin. Their schedule isn't the hardest. I see them losing to Nebraska, losing to Ohio State. Those are two easy losses, in my opinion, right there. Then they got Purdue and Michigan coming. So I don't know. Anything can happen in those games. I do like the under. I would probably lean for Wisconsin. At best, I see them getting 8 wins, so I would take the -102 with the under.
Iowa football, where do you have Iowa at right now? They had 7.5 for you.
Yeah, they are at 7.5. And my first glance is kind of, that's a little, you know, surprisingly low. I mean, since I attended Nebraska, obviously I was kind of had the upper hand. Not that I hold a high opinion of them or anything, but
they've won. You know,
I was just always, sorry, what?
So they've won. They've beaten Nebraska. Oh,
exactly. So, I mean, that's kind of the frame I've had to deal with, that frame of time. But Iowa does have a little bit tougher of a schedule, obviously, at Nebraska. They're at Wisconsin, at Michigan. And that Iowa-Iowa State game, the third game of the season, that'll be very interesting to see because I think that'll determine pretty much for both of those teams how their season's going to play out. So, honestly, as much as I hate to say it, I hate Iowa just as much as the next guy in Nebraska, but I would probably lean over 7.5 with the +112 value.
How about Northwestern? And Pat Fitzgerald, you snooze on him and they keep on doing their thing. They got a really good quarterback coming in. They are at 6.5. Is that the number you have for over-under?
Yeah, right now 6.5, over -108 and under -108. So yeah, both sides for that.
God, they'll find a way to 7, won't they?
Yeah, that's my you know, Northwestern just seems like a team that is consistently and consistently undervalued. I remember I was stressing it last summer heading into the season. I think it was one of the shows when Colton and I were hosting, where I was just like, why is everyone so low on Northwestern? I'm actually pretty high on them, and, you know, they ended up winning the West, of course. But, I mean, Northwestern, Pat Fitzgerald is just a great coach. I just don't think he gets the respect. Now, granted, the recruits they get maybe aren't the best. Obviously, you have that quarterback coming in from Clemson, the 5-star, so I think he's only going to get better in that position for the offense. The main thing for Northwestern, though, of course, is if they can stay healthy. So if they can do that, I do think they will get over 6.5. And talking about value-wise, over obviously being -108, same as the under, I think you can't go wrong either way with that. So in my opinion, I'm easily taking the over for Northwestern.
Last thought, many people's dark horse is Minnesota. Fleck and company ended with a bang last year, a win at Madtown. They're at 6.5 as well. What do you feel here, value-wise, for Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota is the team that's really just putting a question mark in my head, and I think it's the same for a lot of people too, but I see the over -190 for Minnesota at 6.5, so obviously the odds makers feel fairly confident they'll reach 7, the under at +162, so for me it's under or nothing. But Minnesota, actually, they were just so here and there. Their offense could come one day and the next day they're getting blown out by Illinois. I mean, who knows what this team's going to be? I think they're only going to get better. I can only hope from a batter's perspective that they're going to be more consistent in their play throughout the season. But I would definitely lean over. I don't know if I'd put my money there just because the value's way too high, too much to risk, but I would lean that way.
Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, with us. Burke's Best Bets, the latest numbers over under from Vegas with Danny on many of the big time teams in the Big Ten. We spent a lot of time on the Big Ten West and the over unders and the value associated with it. And Danny doing work with Brent Musburger's group and, of course, SportsX Radio. So, Danny, keep busy out in the desert. We will come see you soon, my friend, and have a great 4th. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
Sounds good, Schmitty. Appreciate it. And you guys have a good 4th, too.
Gotta love it, Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago. There you go. Some thoughts on the over-under numbers, the latest from Vegas. Trucking through a Wednesday before the 4th with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug Tavis with us. Dr. Doug, happy 4th. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Chris. How you doing?
Doing well. And digits and fingers always on our mind when it comes to the 4th of July, staying safe and happy. Another St. Louis Cardinal is on our Jock Doc, and this time it's Marcell Ozuna, talented outfielder for St. Louis. And we go back to the end of last week. Fingers. Dr. Doug sliding back into first on a pickoff attempt. You see it 1,000 times, and man, it is devastating when it goes wrong sliding back.
If you watch the video on this slide, you know, he's just coming back into first base on a pickoff move, and his long finger and ring finger just kind of get curled up as they hit the base. And, you know, he obviously was in pain immediately afterwards. So it was a pretty typical way that you can injure the hand. But, you know, in baseball, there are all sorts of different, you know, types of injuries that happen in the hand. And it really becomes a big problem because, obviously, you know, you're using those hands for pretty much everything that you do in that game. Unless you pinch run. Well, then you pinch running, you do too, and you're sliding into base.
Right. Dr. Doug Tavis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. So with Ozuna and these fingers, I know he's on the 10-day injured list. He jammed multiple fingers, fractured his middle finger, that ring finger also you touched on. Have you seen it go worse than this when it comes to some sliding back or base running hand injuries? Because this thing, you break them, you get a splint, you're good. But sometimes it's worse. Sometimes you actually need a surgery on a thumb, or you need a surgery on a pinky. That's not the case that we know of with this. But what are the different types of breaks that can really, well, rear their ugly head with this type of movement? And you hear everyone in the stands and your first base coach yell, "Get back!" You do, and you end up on the DL.
Yeah, so it's just a reaction kind of a thing, and you know, you think you know where your body is in space, mm-hmm. and you misjudge it a little bit and jam that hand in and get that pain. Same thing, you know, when you're sliding into home base or sliding, you know, head first into third, you know, on a steal attempt or something like that. So there's lots of different things that can happen. One of the things that you see pretty frequently now are people wearing the glove.
Yeah.
That's there because of some of these kinds of injuries. But you can think about, like, the thumb. If the thumb gets caught on the side of the base, you can end up having a collateral ligament injury to the thumb, something like a skier's thumb where the thumb gets bent sideways. And for throwing purposes, that isn't too bad. But for trying to grip a baseball bat and need to have that thumb to provide the stability, that can be a significant issue. Fractures at the base of the thumb, which you kind of alluded to, that's one that can really create problems because that goes into the joint, and a lot of times those do need to have surgery in order to get them lined up correctly. The fractures that Azuna has are probably non-operative fractures. The good news is that a lot of these fractures that happen to the fingers or the phalanx, those fractures are frequently healed quickly in the three-week kind of a time frame. Most of the time, you know, with fractures, we talk about 6 weeks, but with the metacarpal bones in the hand or the fingers, the phalangeal bones, a lot of times 3 weeks, and people are starting to come back from those pretty well.
When it comes to coming back, you get the three-week healing process, the splints, and just, you know, the care needed. All right, when you get back to it, what are some exercises that can be done to kind of strengthen your hands? I know that guys are practicing and always hitting and fielding, and you take all of that before the game, and some guys, with their scuffling, they'll stay after, you know, and get the cage out and start working again. But to kind of get it back to your normal way of doing things, doing business at the plate, or making a throw to the cutoff guy or a play at the plate. Does it take a while to get back into rhythm at the dish when you're trying to hit with, say, you have a fractured finger or, worst case, like we're touching on, those thumbs?
Yeah, so the vibration of the bat in your hand, most of us who've played baseball, you know that feeling.
You
of
get
that
jammed,
steam,
yeah.
You know, in your hand when you get the vibration. You know, when you've got some not completely healed fingers, that can certainly create a lot of discomfort. One of the things that we frequently do, and everybody is kind of aware of it, but may not be thinking about it in this situation, is where you take, and you, like the long finger that's broken, you might buddy tape that over to the mm-hmm. index finger. And what that allows you to do is you can still flex the digit, but because that index finger is intact, it acts as a splint, or almost like a casting technique to maintain the stability of that long finger. And so you kind of offload any kind of a load that would be there on that long finger. So buddy taping is actually one of the most common things that we do, and in that kind of a situation, would be a really good technique for them. It's really hard to do a lot more with just exercise other than range of motion, because it's not a scenario where you are really building up a lot of strength around it, but you begin to build up tolerance. And so you may have seen times where you've seen people putting their hand forcefully down into a bucket of corn, you know, or a bucket of sand, and trying to maintain their fingers as they go into that into that resistance. And that's another way of trying to build it up, get it more used to accepting a load, and might be a technique that they would use.
Dr. Doug Tavis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking about Marcell Ozuna busting his middle finger and ring finger, diving back into first, a hand injury for Major League Baseball. Dr. Doug, a thought here. Let's flip it around. Say you're on the mound and you're trying to bunt somebody over, or you just have a freak accident. The timetable for this injury on a pitcher to come back, is it still 3 weeks to heal? Yeah, but as far as getting back to your old self, is it different on the mound versus a position player?
Yeah, I think if you were to sustain a fracture of the throwing hand, I think that it's going to be a much longer kind of a recovery. And there's so much that's done in the grip of the baseball. You know, basically everything that you do when you're trying to change the speed of the pitch, change the rotation of the pitch, is done in the grip of the baseball. And so depending on which bone is injured, you may not be able to grip that normally. And, you know, the repetition and perfect placement of a pitch, it's such a fine tune in the big leagues that I would anticipate something like that taking a long time. You know, Ozuna is incredible at the plate, and that's where he really needs to have that. You know, have his recovery is coming back to the hitting, and I think that'll be a little bit easier than somebody who is trying to grip a baseball perfectly to make that perfect throw.
Dr. Doug, have a great fourth. Thanks for a few minutes today.
You bet, Chris. Take care.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time, Hail Varsity Radio, as we send you off into your 4th of July holiday. Thanks so much for spending your Wednesday with us. Podcast going to be up, HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer. And don't forget, Sunday, I'm going to keep hammering this. We are off tomorrow. We are off Friday. We are off Saturday for the holiday weekend. And Hail Varsity is going to put on a party for you with the friends we have down in the rail yard at the Cube. The watch party will get going 10 o'clock Sunday morning, the U.S. Women's World Cup title game. And restaurants, the good folks down in the rail yard, will be open. So get some food and drink from the folks down in the rail yard and the restaurants down there, of course, and park yourself, man. Scream USA. Another World Cup opportunity for the incredible U.S. women. And be down there with your friends from the rail yard, presented by Hail Varsity, the U.S. Women's World Cup title game. Watch party on Sunday at 10 a.m. Head on down, enjoy it, and scream your head off with your fellow Americans. Happy 4th to you. A reminder, it is common to move, right? And when you're looking to move, give your friends at West Blue Realty a call today. And when you mention Hail Varsity, they can help take care of that those closing costs, up to $1,000 in closing costs, as West Blue wants to help you out. They specialize in residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding communities. You're looking to move? You're looking to buy? West Blue Realty can make it happen. Give Tom Luby a ring. Tom's a good dude, professional, and will work hard for you at 402-540-3768. Kelly Hofschneider's tremendous as well. Give him a shout at 402-202-2312. For more details, it pays to work with West Blue, westbluerealty.com, 233 South 13th, 11th floor. Go by and see him if you're making that move in 2019. Say Hail Varsity to him, about $1,000 off your closing cost. So there you go. Will, plans tonight, what do you got going? I am firing the smoker and grill up here shortly.
Well, maybe I should just like come sneak into the Schmidt household.
You're welcome. And it doesn't even have to be Santa or Rudolph to find your way to the Schmidt house.
Oh, there you go. So, but other than that, I had nothing. So that might be the best thing going on in town.
Do you have, are you 21 yet?
Not.
Okay.
Got 6 months.
So it's high C for you.
Fair enough.
Or can you drink you won't get in trouble for drinking non-alcoholic stuff.
Hopefully not. I don't know who would get me in trouble for not breaking the law.
Who would rat? But check the podcast out. Roll on over, Will. It's all good. The wife may charge a $75 cover charge.
Oh, that's brutal.
That's just her, though. But no, in all seriousness, have a great 4th of July. Thanks so much for tuning in and spending time with us on Hail Varsity. Recruiting never sleeps, nor does Greg Smith. So keep your eyes and ears locked into HailVarsity.com and the Hail Varsity Twitter handle over the weekend, tomorrow, into Friday, Saturday. And don't forget, Women's World Cup watch party at the Cube, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. with Hail Varsity. Be there for that. Happy 4th. God love you. Thanks so much.